did this in the Saturday service, and there was a 2-year-old sitting with their grandmother, and she was just marveled at that dumb little trick I did. And this is what God tells us, to be like children. That 2-year-old didn't try to figure it out. She just enjoyed the mystery and the marvel of this. So to me, I looked at this child last night and I go, this is where we need to be re-enchanted. This is where we need to really enjoy. And I'm not talking about being ignorant or oblivious or gullible. And certainly that's important. We look at this and being a Christian, you just throw out all kinds of logic in your brain to follow Jesus. That's not the case. But there's times when we just need to marvel at the wonder of God. See, the reason you and I are here is because our own cleverness, our own ability, our own way of thinking sometimes is falling short. And so therefore, we need to connect with God. We need to connect with Christ. Back on the screen, the more certain we try to become about things, the more insecure we seem to become. You look at when I'm talking to the doctor, and he goes, well, we got this medication. I'm asking tons of questions because I'm looking for certainty. And he gives me answers for the questions, but it doesn't give me certainty. It gives me more uncertain. Is this guaranteed? No, nothing's guaranteed. And I just go, oh, I'm looking for certainty. Am I the only one that deals with this? Okay. You got your own issues. Okay. And so this is where I looked at the definition of transfiguration. It's changing the appearance to make it something beautiful and something spiritual. See, when we look at things in life, we need transfiguration. We need to look at the appearance and have it transfigured. Now, I've told you many times that the Word of God cracks me up. This scripture would be the perfect SNL skit. And I love SNL, but I think all the Christians would get all bent out of shape if it was an SNL skit. But if you read it like I read it, which you read it weird, it's an SNL skit. Because Jesus takes Peter, James, and John. He takes them up to the mountaintop to experience something. He doesn't tell them what they're going to experience. But all of a sudden, Scripture says that Jesus transfigured. His appearance completely changed. Now, if I was one of the disciples, I would go, oh, geez. Because it says his clothes were like, there's no bleach could get his clothes whiter than that. It's like a Tide commercial. It would have been perfect. And so therefore, this bleach comes on, this look comes on, and it's transfigured. Now, Peter's starting to freak out a little. And so all of a sudden, it's interesting, because Jesus is talking to Moses and Elijah. Which I think is fascinating because Moses and Elijah died centuries before. And Jesus is chilling with them and talking to them. So Peter just loses it. And he freaks out. And then this is where he loses his sense of certainty. Like, I'm not used to this. I have no control of this situation. And so you know what Peter does? He starts jabbering. He just starts talking. He says, it's good to be here, it's good to be here, it's good to be here. Let's build something, it's good to be here. And it's interesting, if you look at human behavior, this is what happens in our lives when we're falling for certainty and things are going crazy in our life. We begin to talk a lot, don't we? We begin to go to our friends and say, I want your opinion on this. Because we're looking for certainty, aren't we? We're looking for somebody to agree with us so I can land on some foundation of certainty. And so you listen to your prayers. And God goes, Jesus goes, up. Dude can't get a word in because you're too busy jabbering because you're looking for certainty. And you quote Jesus' promises. This is neat, like Jesus doesn't know. Do you know what I mean? It says in the Word. You know, and all this stuff. So you're kind of manipulating Jesus. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Said that in the Word. You're right. I need to do that. And so we'll fall for certainty. And so this is interesting because then a fog, talking about craziness, a fog kicks in. They can't see anything now. They can't see Jesus. They can't see left. They can't see right. They can't see behind them. And so there's things in our lives that when we're looking for certainty, we don't know where to go. It's just blurry that way. I don't know. I don't know a decision to make. Have you ever been there? And this is amazing to me because right in the midst of this craziness, this I don't know what's going on, because basically you have to understand the past and the present and the future are all happening at one time. And so you look at this, there is no certainty whatsoever. Jesus is tripping. And all this is going on. And so what in Mark chapter 9, a voice from heaven says this. And from the cloud there came a voice. This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. Doesn't say talk to him. Doesn't say tell him what to do. It says listen to him. This is where we get it wrong. When we get life all trying to figure it out, just listen. He'll tell you. He'll give you peace. Look on the screen. It is the cloud of unknowing. When our logical thoughts come to an end of themselves and our jabbering stops, and we hear as the still small voice of God, the voice always says the same thing. This is my son, my beloved. Listen to him. And you will know that you too are my beloved child. And this ever-present, still small voice gives us the security to follow Jesus wherever he may lead, even down a mountain toward a cross in willingness to die to our ego-based self, which demands certainty and control. This is the only way into the life of faith. This is where we don't like faith. Faith is gravitating to uncertainty. But we don't like it, do we? You know, even if you don't serve Christ, you have to live an element of faith. You really do. And so this is where they got it. This is where the disciples got it. Because there was one thing that they focused on. Follow me here. Mark chapter 9, 8. All the chaos and the craziness of your life, this is what the disciples do. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. My friend, there's so many times that I want to take people with me on my journeys. There's so many ways I want to say, come with me on faith. But there's sometimes journeys that I'm alone. Being a pastor is kind of the most isolating position you can be in at times. And so the cool thing about this, it's only me and Jesus at times. And there's only going to be you and Jesus at times, nobody else. And so therefore, Jesus is all we need as long as we take our focus and focus on Jesus. Because the more I focus on everything, the more stressed out I become, the less certainty there is. The only certainty I have is my relationship with Jesus. That's it. That's it. And so therefore, I want to experience Christ. And so therefore, when I'm looking for security, I'm looking for this. Jesus, God says, you are my beloved son, whom I'm well pleased, or my beloved daughter, whom I'm well pleased. And so if you look on the screen, that's when the real magic happens. We undergo what's called transfiguration. That all of a sudden this appearance of what I think is despair, what I think is hopelessness, starts to begin to change in a way that only God can do it. This is where it's important because we come here, and I don't say, hey, I'm the greatest pastor on the planet or anything like this. We're all fall short of the glory of God. We all struggle with our faith. And so therefore, we want to have this relationship with Christ, but we're gravitating towards certainty rather than by faith. Look on the screen. We are not here for that kind of certainty. We are here to experience a magic, a transfiguration. You are incredible stories. When I was doing the Hump Day podcast, and I did it all year, but people go, I don't want to do it anymore. And the ones I really want to do it, are just incredible stories. They're stories of incredible transfiguration, of just incredible miracles. You guys are just a story that's so important about transfiguration. Some of you have been in situations where churches have hurt you. Some of you have been in situations that you battled cancer or battled a sickness. And so therefore you have this incredible story. Some of you have the stories that your life is just falling apart, but the transfiguration appearance is changing completely. In some way, there's no way that we can explain it, can we? But it's by the grace of God. Trust in Jesus. Trust in his voice. Trust in his movement in the situation you are facing. Look on the screen. In order to see Jesus and listen to his voice, we have to become his children again, who are comfortable with the awesome and mystery love of God. Just like on the mountaintop, time seemed to get jumbled up together, the past and the present and the future, but they all came together. But man, those disciples, man, they experienced Jesus to the fullest when the certainty was gone. Now, I want to close an illustration in this, and I was working on this illustration, but I don't know. Marriage is really fun, isn't it? It can, and funny, and difficult. I mean, marriage is work, okay? And so we have our date night, Wednesday or Friday. So we were going on our date night, Jennifer and I, just to make it clear, that's who I'm dating, my wife. Okay, I'm telling you, you guys think all the weird things sometimes, so I have to be clear. And so we were getting ready, and we're going, it's in and out. I'm a big spender, so we go in and out once a week. So I told Jennifer, hey, do you mind when we get in the car, let's talk about Teslas. You know, the guys are going, yeah, what's wrong with that? The girls are going, oh. So this is what she said. No, I don't want to talk about it. You talk about it all the time. Call my dad. I could call your dad, so I called her dad. He didn't care either. And so I thought, you know, how in the world, she doesn't support me on this. You know, you play this. And yes, I've been talking for years, but this is one of my personal flesh passions is Teslas. And I said, okay. So months before, I said, hey, the Tesla Model 3 is coming out in the showroom. You want to go see it? No. Hey, do you want to go test drive a Tesla Model S? No. I'll sit in the car. So I go, okay. So then I thought, okay, you know what? If you're not going to Tesla, I'm going to bring Tesla to you. So I went on Turo. If you've been on Turo, Turo is an Airbnb for cars. People just rent out their cars. So I typed in Tesla Model 3, and sure enough, there's a guy that rents it. So Friday, I go, you know what? I'm going to rent this car. Because I've been on waiting for 2 years for this stupid car, and so I said, you know what? I'm going to test drive it. So I told Jennifer. So I picked it up at 11 o'clock, and I'm all excited. And I love the car. And so I parked the car. And so I'm sitting there almost praying about this because it's a ridiculous prayer. But I go, I really want her to care about what I care about. You laugh, but you are the same way. Not my car. Okay? So she pulled up, and I'm looking in the... It's so stupid. I don't know why I'm telling you this. But I'm just making a point. So I'm looking at her watching the car, and I tell you, if she looks over to the car, that means she's interested. If she doesn't, because it's parked over, so she walks to the car, pulls out her phone, takes a picture. I go, ooh, we're good. I never mentioned her taking the picture. Because usually when she takes a picture, she posts it. So I said, that's the picture she took. So I said, hey, do you mind if we go to Redondo Beach to eat? Because I want to drive. She goes, okay. Now, meanwhile, I didn't know this, but she's been working out. She did what's called suicide pallets. Do you know what that is? Okay, the word suicide is just right there. It's very painful. The car's low. So get in the door, she's going, making all these noises and all this stuff because her legs are hurting. I'm going, oh, this is terrible. You know, and she gets in the car. So I go, how do you like the car? It's fine. So I get in the car. We go to the restaurant. We have a nice one. I said, do you want to drive her home? This is my whole thing. Just get her in the driver's seat. She goes, no, I don't want to drive. So then she goes, okay. She knew how I felt. It's because I sighed or something. She goes, why don't I just drive it when we get home? I'll just drive around the block. Okay. So we pulled over here. We drove over here. She gets in the car. I'm praying. Okay, I'm praying that she'll like this car. So she gets in the car and drives like a little old lady, you know, because it's new. You know. So we're in the back of the school here, and I go, punch it. Because she's a Corvette girl. So she goes, and it goes. And she goes, ooh. I go, she likes it. Just as long as she does. Then she does a U-turn. And then hits it again. Pushes her harder. Now I'm getting a headache. Honest truth, I'm getting a headache. Because she's flooring this car everywhere. So what her goal is. Now you have to mind you, this is a block. She then, the fourth time, she floors it all the way to the bottom. You know what Teslas are. They're like airplanes on four wheels. She floors it in this block, gets up to 53 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone, and then breaks it so she can curve. Okay? And I go, this girl's digging it. Okay? So this is what she posted. So when she got home, she posted this. This was sitting in my driveway when I got home tonight. Kevin rented it to test drive before he gets his, which has been delayed again until April, May. He convinced me to drive it on our way home from dinner. I know, my wife's doing the media shout. That's the problem. Does it work? 0 to 54 in 4 seconds, as fast as I've ever accelerated. I think I might be sold on it. Okay? Now, here's the point. I get criticized a lot that I don't teach here and talk about Jesus and the behaviors that you should do and all this stuff. I get criticized like, you should go after this, you should do this. And I go, my job is not to talk about Jesus, because talking about Tesla didn't change my wife. What changes people is when they first experience and go into the presence of Jesus himself. That you get into the vehicle that Jesus wants to move you in, and it's empowered by the Holy Spirit. It takes 5 minutes to change someone's mind to the love of Jesus rather than talking about Jesus over and over and coming across very judgmental. Do you see where I'm going? And so my job is to bring you into the experience of the Holy Spirit. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care your past. I don't care your present. I don't care what you're figuring out the future. I want you to ride with Jesus. I want you to experience the speed that he could heal and the transformation. Because talking about it doesn't work. But experiencing. Look on the screen. Even though God is not finished with any of us yet, we can start to get a glimpse of the beautiful final product we will be when we begin to narrow our focus and see only Jesus. When we start to see who we are, our completeness and wholeness, the way that God had in mind all along, we are motivated to live into who we really are in Christ. That is the magic of transfiguration. My friend, this is what we need to do. Bring people into transfiguration as we transfigure ourselves. If you look at the connection card, if you want to respond to this message, it simply says this: today, I will stop trying to walk by sight, certainly and control, and begin to walk by faith, trusting in the love of God through Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless his word.